This is Flint, and you're listening to Bravo Team.
Welcome to Bravo Team, our second G.I. Joe show looking at all the secondary G.I. Joe material. I am your host, Aaron Moss, codenamed Brotherhead. On this show, I'll either be by myself or have other guest hosts joining me looking at all the G.I. Joe material out there. We'll be covering things like the toys, the Action Force comic, the European Missions comic, the movies, G.I. Joe Renegades, or anything else that is not G.I. Joe, a real American hero comic, or the 80s cartoon. Come, join us on our mission to stop Cobra from taking over the world. Yo, Joe! And welcome to G.I. Joe Bravo Team. I am your host, Aaron Brotherhead Moss. Joining me this month, I have a very special guest. Joining me once again in the studio is Mr. Jim Beard. I had Jim once before to talk about a little G.I. Joe. He did some work on G.I. Joe in the past. And while today we're
he's not little. He's 12 inches tall.
Maybe your G.I. Joe.
You're thinking of those other G.I. Joes.
Yes.
My G.I. Joe is 12 inches tall, man. He's about three or four times the size of your
size. Doesn't matter.
Little did I know that we would be comparing size.
And sadly, as usual, I don't measure up.
Yeah. Well, this has gone straight to hell really quick.
As it tends to do on my shows. But anyways, so yeah, we talked about some G.I. Joe last time, and now we're not talking so much about G.I. Joe, but I guess it's G.I. Joe adjacent.
Says you.
Well, I guess it is G.I. It's not G.I. Joe labeled, but it is. Well, why don't you tell us? You're probably more familiar with it than I am.
Yeah, you know, you're. I mean, I kind of like that. That's kind of fun. I have a series of books out called DC Jones and Adventure Command International, and they are almost completely inspired by my love for Adventure Team, the 1970s G.I. Joe, a little bit of the 60s, you know, G.I. Joe in there. But I want to say right here at the outset, if somebody finds what we're talking about interesting today, you don't have to really know anything about the old 12-inch G.I. Joes and the Adventure Team and all of that. In my books should give you everything that you need. But if you do know the Adventure Team and the old G.I. Joes and that's your jam, then there's a whole extra layer of enjoyment that you might get from my books.
On Amazon, you can pick up some D.C. Jones.
Yes, you can. So it's three novels, and then there's a smaller short story collection.
So how is DC Jones tied into G.I. Joe?
It actually began life as a real G.I. Joe project. I think it was 2015. Boy, whew, is that a long time ago? Yeah. I think it was 2015. There used to be this thing called Kindle Worlds on Amazon. It was a platform that anybody could go in there and write fiction for all these different properties that they had the rights to. And then they got published on that platform called Kindle Worlds. And among, ones that I probably couldn't really name if I wanted to. I'm trying to even think of some of the ones that they had. Among all of those, they had G.I. Joe. I remember reading something about it online and saying, oh, well, you know, like, that's really cool. And I, writing official G.I. Joe Adventure Team fiction was always in my bucket list. And I started looking into it and I saw that everything that they were promoting for the G.I. Joe part of it was pretty much real American hero, which makes complete sense to me because that is what G.I. Joe has been, you know, since 1983. My G.I. Joe lasted comparatively a shorter time. You know, the 12-inch G.I. Joe was from 1964 to, let's call it 76, if I'm not mistaken.
I think last time we talked, I think I mentioned or you mentioned that if it wasn't for your G.I. Joe, I probably wouldn't have mine.
Thank you. You know, and I don't want to hold that over anybody, so I'm glad you said it. And I'll it didn't come out of my mouth. But
Hasbro wanted to have something to compete with Star Wars, and so they had G.I. Joe just laying around, so they brought it back in a smaller size. So, yeah, no, it's definitely – I never wasn't a G.I. Joe when it was the 12-inch figures, so that's why – it's not for me, but
well, you're very young. I can understand that. You probably weren't even around then, were you?
Yeah, I was born in 1969, so I was
okay. You're 4 years younger than me.
I didn't think you were that much older than I am.
You know what's funny is I got my G.I. Joe at Christmas of 69.
Very nice.
my astronaut G.I. Joe. So I looked everything over and it looked like it was going to be Real American Hero. And, you know, that was after my time. So I actually sent an email in a press release for the whole thing. There was an email address for the representative at Hasbro that was kind of, you know, the go-between between Kindle, Amazon, and Hasbro. And I emailed her and I said, you know, I looked over everything and it's not really clear. Does the license include all of G.I. Joe, ... Like, for example, the 70s adventure team. And she contacted me pretty much right away, you know, got right back to me. And she said, yes. She said, the only thing that you can't write about and publish anything about is the, and at that time, I think it might only been one movie, G.I. Joe, the movie. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think it was three movies at that point. I think it was just the one.
No, at that time, well, it was.
Was it two?
No, it was. I'm trying to think when Rise of Cobra came out. Rise of Cobra came out in 2009.
Okay.
So Retaliation might have been out.
Okay. Well, okay. What she was saying is because that involved other people and, you know, the studio, and there was some proprietary stuff that was involved in the film that maybe Hasbro didn't actually have rights to. They said, well, you can't touch it. And I said, fine, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, and Retaliation came out in 2013.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. So I was just floored. It was like, here's my opportunity. So long story short, it took me an entire year to get to it. I mean, you know what? I think what it was is it intimidated the crap out of me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I finally knuckled down and came up with a plot, and I wrote what we call a novella. Basically, in my publishing world, 60,000 words is a novel, 30,000 words is a novella. It's like a long short story or a short novel, basically. I had some of the most fun writing it that I've ever had writing anything. It came out exactly the way I wanted it to. I got in all these different references to, you know, actual adventure team sets and equipment and vehicles and all that kind of stuff. And I threw it up on there, you know, onto Kindle Worlds. And I was like, nobody's going to read this because you're going to have everybody's going to be on there writing and publishing and reading Real American Hero fiction, you know?
Right.
And I said, no one's going to read this thing, but at least I did it. I got it up. I put it up there and I'm happy with it. But the thing is that it started to sell. That was the cool thing is that you could make money off of it. It was only Kindle, meaning, you know, it was only eBooks. They didn't have any way to do print editions. But I started getting reviews that were great and people were reading it and saying, "Oh my God, this is just, you know, it's the adventure team. It's just like everything, you know, that I remembered. It makes me feel like I'm playing with G.I. Joe Adventure Team, you know, as a kid again." And I got some of the best reviews I'd ever gotten. And my sales were, you know, great. I was selling that thing like crazy. And that went on for maybe a year or so. I'm trying to remember. I got together with a couple of other guys who were on there. And we did a four-part story where we each wrote a chapter. And it was like a round robin kind of thing. But I started it off in Adventure Team time, and then it jumped to Real American Hero time, you know. And, well, anyways, long story short again, we were having a lot of fun. And then what happened was Kindle Worlds ended. We got a notice from Amazon saying, you know, on this date, all of Kindle Worlds will be taken down. It'll just go away. You know, thank you very much for being part of this and all of that. And it said, you own your stories, but you do not own the intellectual property.
Right.
And that was no surprise whatsoever. Maybe it was a little bit of a surprise that we actually could retain the ownership of our stories. So to me, that was somebody saying to me, if you get rid of the intellectual property parts of this, you can do whatever you want with it. Well, me and those other guys actually tried to, for another year worth of trying to see if we could get our stuff published as keep it as G.I. Joe. We all were at a big G.I. Joe convention, and there were Hasbro people there. We talked to them. Hasbro was actually keen to let us do it, but they said, we are not a publisher. You have to find a publisher to go through. Problem was, is that we couldn't find a publisher. So the whole thing fell apart and we all walked away, and I kind of forgot it. I put the work that I did on a shelf, you know, and just kind of forgot it. It got to the point where some people would bring it up to me and I got really kind of disgusted and said, that thing's just sitting there. You know, I put some time and effort into it and it was really popular and it's just sitting there doing absolutely nothing, collecting dust. So I said, forget it. I'm tired of this. I'm going to basically make it my own. And in that moment, DC Jones and Adventure Command was born. It's not just name changes. There's a little bit more going on. I took that original novel. A lot of that was, yes, I changed the names of everything. I came up, you know. Well, actually, I kept some of the names because you probably already know this. Adventure Team was not like Real American Hero. Adventure Team, G.I. Joes, they were all G.I. Joe.
Right.
Literally, their names were just, they were all just G.I. Joe. You know, if they had individual names, it was because kids would give their G.I. Joe names, you know. Right. But in official material, which there was no official material, really, they were just G.I. Joe. You imprinted yourself on them, I guess. It's not like Real American Hero, where they go into great detail, obviously. I mean, great detail of their names, where they were born, what school they went to, and all of that.
Yes.
So back in Adventure Team time, there was a Viewmaster set, and there were these comic book and record sets. Those, in order to be able to actually not have to have a whole, like, five guys all called Joe, you know, in the thing, they actually gave them some names.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, maybe not so much personality. So the little booklet that came with the Viewmasters,
right,
there were three or four stories that were going on in there, and the booklet had different names. So I took those, and it's kind of obscure. You know, it's, again, like the toys themselves did never had those names. But I was inspired by that, so I took some of those. And then the characters that didn't have names, I gave them names of my own. I kept all of that stuff. Then what I did is I expanded upon it. So that was a novella that was only 30,000 words. I took that short story and I really kind of changed parts of it because that was supposedly the first chapter of a bigger story. But right. And then I wrote a whole new short story. So I had a full book of, you know, a novel length book at that point, and published it. And I said, oh, it's the first of a trilogy. And so last May, 2023 of May, I finally finished the trilogy. So there's three full books. The first and second books are both have a novella and then two short stories. And they kind of link up in some ways. And then the last book is one full novel.
Oh, very nice.
And that finishes the story. So I'm so glad to finally, you know, have brought that story, you know, to a conclusion. And then I have a couple little short stories. You know what? That was born out of something that didn't work. There's a, it's called Kindle Vella, and that's still going on now. It's a way to put out fiction in chapters.
Yeah, they do something like by each chapter or something like that.
Yeah, you don't put up a whole novel. You publish it there in chapters, and you get people hooked, and then they have to keep coming back. You know, so right. I said, "Well, screw that! I'm not going to do it like that." And I put out like five little short stories of the DC Jones characters, stories that take place before the three books.
Okay.
And I made them little spotlights for each one of the characters, and then that was like that just got completely lost on Kindle Vella. Like, you know, it was like it wasn't what anybody wanted at all, and I barely, you know, sold any of them. So I took I wrote a new six short story, and then I published it as like a slim kind of volume, you know, a little addition to the other novels, and that's where things are today.
Oh, very nice. So how are the sales on the main three books going? Are you doing well on it, or is it?
I'm not glad you asked me that.
Okay, we'll ignore that question. So
No. I'm going to be completely honest. Of all the things that I've written and published and done, they are some of the stuff that I'm most proud of, but that has never really found their audience.
Right. It's something that's project for you, but it's not commercially successful.
It's exactly that, Aaron. And I'm so glad you said it like that. Yeah, those are, yes, those were to satisfy, you know, me. I kind of wrote them for me. I put a little notice in the beginning of the third book. It's like the very first thing that you read. And it's a little note from the writer. And it said, someone once said to me that they felt like the DC Jones books were plotted by a 9-year-old. And it's, you know, that was almost supposed to be sort of like a, you know, like somebody dissing me. And I said, right. Oh, well, thank you very, very much. That's quite a compliment because, yeah, that's exactly what they're supposed to read like. Because that was, you know, I was 9 years old when I was playing with Adventure Team toys.
Right.
And that's what it is. Those books exist to satisfy the 9-year-old inside of me. And they're just, you know, off the wall, crazy adventure stuff, you know, and I really have a blast with it. Earlier on, I said that it's a little bit more than just name changes because over the three books, I've tried to grow the characters and really give them their all, you know, their distinct personalities. Right. They have specialties just like the toys did. Like behind me is the Sea Adventurer. So right. In my books, he's called Red because he's a redhead, you know. But so he's still the sailor guy, you know, of the team, you know, the expert on the ocean and the water and all of that. And, you know, there's a pilot and there is the ground adventurer. There's also the tech guy and there's the astronaut guy. There's the guy who's a little bit more zen and, you know, does kung fu and karate and, you know, and stuff like that. And what I did is I really went past what the toys were because I added in a female member of the team. And I she's become maybe my most favorite character. Her name is Dixie and she comes from the South.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. But I thought I was really clever that her name is Dixie. But she's such a fun character because she's real kick-ass, of course. But she has the thickest, most stereotypical Southern accent ever. And I sit there and I write it out in the deepest, thickest, you know, dialect. And I actually have had people tell me that they've gotten frustrated with reading her dialogue. And I'd say, good. Good. That's exactly what it, you know, what it should be. But you know what because I think of 70s TV shows when I write these books. So it's like, okay. I'm thinking of like $6 Million Man when I write these things. The 70s TV shows like that were filled with like they always had there was always like a very stereotypical Southern character, you know, that would show, you know, obviously yeah. like Dukes of Hazzard, there was lots of them, but you know, with just that real, the real deep twang, you know, in their yeah. voice. So that's what Dixie is. And I'm really, really proud of her. She's a really, really fun character. And she's gone from being a recruit to gaining full membership in the team now. And she's very respected by the guys, you know. That's another little thing that I have going on, is that there are always recruits in coming in. And there's been three so far, and they've all almost pretty much come to no good end.
Whoops.
It's really hard to get into Adventure Command. That was inspired by the Viewmaster had a thing about recruits in okay. it, that they were at the training center, which was one of the toys that you could get.
Right.
So the first one is a guy named Mike, and something happens to Mike. In the second book, it's Diego, and that name came from the Viewmasters. And oh, it's terrible. I'm trying to think of who it is in the third one. Dixie was a recruit too, but she actually came out to the good. Yeah, she actually became a full member. But anyways, it's one of my most favorite things that I've done. But yeah, honestly, it just has never found an audience. And in fact, right now, it's kind of, I've sort of put doing another book on hold, because I really want to sit and think about what I can do with what I have.
Right.
And how to try to get, you know, word out. And obviously shows like this, you know, are helpful for that. But I don't want to keep pumping out more and having like nobody read them. You know? I mean, yeah, they are for me, you know, but I mean, I'd love it. But it's a little bit of a hard sell, you know.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, you know, G.I. Joe fiction. But what it is that I think a lot of people say, oh, well, it's set in the 70s and it's based on the 70s toys, when they really want, you know, if there was brand new real American hero fiction out there, I think it would probably do pretty well.
Right. Yeah, you know? I could see that. I mean,
yeah, because of right now in the world, there are far more real American hero fans because it's last year was the what anniversary? 40th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're on 41 years of Real American Hero. Adventure Team lasted about 6 years. Let's say 7 to be really kind. And then before that, there were 6 years of the military G.I. Right. Joe, which he's standing right over here next to my here. Yeah. This is the 60s one right there, the sailor from the 60s. So you're looking at roughly, you know, 12 years of all of that, and you know, we're aging out.
No, that's one complaint I have with, like, with Hasbro, is that, you know, they're not doing a lot of the regular G.I. Joe, the American Hero stuff. They're slowly doing a little bit more, but for a while they didn't really do much with it. And I'm like, and the problem is they're seem to be aiming towards people like me, the older audience. And I'm like, well, they need to do, you know, cartoons and stuff for the kids, because realistically, sadly, I'm gonna die soon. Well, not soon, but soon enough. You know, sure. I'm 54, so I'm, you know, I've only got so many years left in me, and they're not replacing, you know, just to me, it seems they're not really aiming for the kids to replace us older fans. And, and you, like, see, your G.I. Joe is even older, so
you know,
most of those fans
don't remind me, you know, Hasbro tried a couple different times of bringing the Adventure Team back in a way. I mean, they tried to fit it into the 3¾-inch line.
Right.
And for some, well, I guess I do know why, but they made them so exclusive that, like, today nobody can afford to buy those.
And I know that they've got some, and I believe that's what this is based on, either the original Joes or the Action Adventure one, the classified figures. They've got some more generic figures they're releasing that to me look like they're probably aimed at your.
Oh, now see, I see that might be something that I'm not really aware of. When they did a lot of the 12-inch figures in the 90s, they had some Adventure Team stuff, but they must not have done very, very well, because You know, it just didn't really do a whole lot. There's a company that just recently brought back Super Joe.
Right. Yeah, I've talked to them.
Yeah. And I just recently had a really great conversation with the guy from that, Steve, because all of a sudden they were using the name Adventure Command, Adventure, which is what I've been using. And I was like, you know, what? You know, I didn't understand what was going on. And I contacted him, and in a, you know, in a nice way, saying like, hey, listen, I've been using that name since, and I can't remember what year it was that I published the, you know, I feel like people are going to be confused. And it's like, why are you using that name all of a sudden? Because it literally, like, they just suddenly started using that. And he told me that, and I kind of figured that this is what was going on. Hasbro got after them and challenged them on the Super Joe name. Even though they had copy, I guess they went out and copyright and trademarked the Super Joe name because they felt that they had done the research and that it had lapsed with Hasbro. Hasbro wanted to argue that. And so the Super Joe guys, I think they said they didn't want to go up against Hasbro. They felt that they had, you know, they were in the right, but they know that in a legal battle that Hasbro has money and they did not. So they decided that they had to drop the Super Joe name. We're actually talking about maybe someday actually doing something together.
Oh, very nice.
We agreed to both use that name, that there wouldn't be any confusion, you know, between what they're doing and what I'm doing. I mean, I think it would be fun to have DC Jones action figures, you know, someday, but I don't know. I don't really see that happen. Although I'd love it if these guys could put out one set that was maybe branded DC Jones, you know.
Yeah, I can ask about that. If you're planning on doing action figures in the future, if that's something you're aiming for. Very nice. But yeah, I've talked with Austin before on my show.
Okay.
About the Super Joe and... And that's why I saw your post here a while back saying, you know, asking about, that's why I reached out to you. I'm like, I know one of the guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was before I actually talked to Steve, and I was freaking out a little bit because I'll admit it. I did not trademark DC Jones, but all of the books and all of that is copyrighted and I have published it. So there is a precedent there that it is in the world under, you know, copyright and everything like that. So, but you know what? There was no threatening or anything going on. I was just like, ooh, what are we going to do here, guys? You know? So, but everything's cool. And they actually sent me one of the Super Joe toys. It's really nice. They did a beautiful job on it. And it's so funny. He sent along an extra outfit, which is a jumpsuit that, like, he goes, in case you want to customize him into DC Jones. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a friend of mine to paint the DC Jones scar on his face and make a little emblem, you know, for the chest emblem. And I can have him maybe at tables, you know, when I do shows, you know, at my table that, you know, here's DC Jones. You know what I'd love to do is I have to find somebody who can do this, is I'd like to get some 3D printed figurines, you know, not action figures, not, you know, movable, but do a couple of the characters and maybe just, you know, about, well, 3¾ inch or maybe a little smaller.
Right.
And do some of those and maybe sell those, you know, at shows. I would like to have them just for myself. Right. I'd love to have Dixie, you know, that would be so fun.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice to have. Little figures of your character. That's always a nice thing. I was looking on Hasbro's page real quick. Yeah, there's the G.I. Joe Classified 60th Anniversary Action Soldier Infantry and Recon Day. Pre-order. They're both sold out. They were $35 a piece.
60th Anniversary, right? Okay, so, what am I saying? This is the 60th Anniversary this year.
So, yeah, so it's go back to that. So,
okay, I will go and look that up. Yeah, so they're emulating the, you know, the Soldier, because the Soldier came out in 64 and lasted until kind of more 68. 69 was a transition, and that's where I came in. There was this, that was when they started to think, we better put this military stuff to the side. Vietnam War was going on.
Yeah.
You know, they were worried about parents going, oops, I don't want to buy soldier toys for my son, you know, and all of that. And they started a thing called The Adventures of G.I. Joe, and they were sort of segueing. And that was only like that 1 year. And that was what I got in Christmas of 69. My astronaut was actually Adventures of G.I. Joe.
Okay.
And right after that, I mean, immediately 1970, boom, Adventure Team. And everything I got after that point was, you know, any like vehicles or equipment or outfit sets were Adventure Team. So I had an Adventures of G.I. Joe figure that wore and used Adventure Team stuff. It was a weird little period, you know, to come into the toy at that moment in time.
Yeah.
So are they doing anything for Real American Hero for the 60th anniversary? Anything special at all?
Just the figures. They've started the Real American Hero comic back up. They stopped it because it was with IDW.
Yeah.
They lost the license, and now it's with Robert Kirkman has it. It's under some other banner under Image.
Okay.
So yeah, they just started back. It's on issue 303, just came out.
Okay. You know, I haven't really been following it, but the 6-inch figures, every time if I'm in a store and I'm, you know, going through the toy department, you know, I've seen the 6-inch figures. Yeah. And
classified figures. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. I have to say, those are really, really nice. It'd be so cool to see an Adventure Team figure in that scale, you know. Oh,
yeah,
I'd be over the moon. But the problem is that they, you know what they would do is they'd make it all exclusive, you know, limited edition exclusive stuff, you know. And I get it, they can't mass produce Adventure Team right now because they'd lose on it. No, but you know, there wouldn't be enough people to, you know, to buy it. So it always has to be real kind of elitist. They think we old guys have all the money.
I've complained about Hasbro and their marketing strategy, if you will, in the past. I think they're missing out somewhere, but what do I know? I'm just some schmuck doing a podcast at home, so.
But you're our schmuck, baby.
Oh, thank you, Jim. You're our schmuck. but like I said, the 60th anniversary, that's the line that's in the 6-inch figure. Okay. It's a classified line. Like I said, you can get them at Amazon, it looks like, still.
Well, that's nice that they're doing something, you know, and I admit it. I don't follow, you know, modern G.I. Joe enough to, you know, to know that I'm living in the past.
Well, again, that's your Joe. So I don't blame, you know.
Yep.
Like he's all mine. You know, if they were to shift, well, I say for a while back in the 90s, they shifted like the Sigma 6 and the more anime looking or the more extreme. And I'm like, that's not my G.I. Joe. That's not what I want. So, I kind of drifted away from it because, it wasn't like you're saying, it's not my G.I. Joe.
Sure. Sure. No, totally understand that.
So, so you got the three books. So, and you've got more ideas, but you're kind of waiting around right now to see.
Yeah.
How to promote it.
Each one of the books is set in a different year in the 70s. We did, if I remember correctly, we did 74. 73, 74, set 1975, if I'm not mistaken. And I've loosely been kind of following the Adventure Team timeline, where towards the end of the Adventure Team, it got kind of crazy, you know, where they started bringing in a little bit more science fiction, you know, of science fiction vibe into it. They had Bullet Man, you know, come in, and Mike Power. And then the straw that broke the camel's back is the Intruders, which was the alien cavemen from, you know, outer space. And that was the real end. They had Eagle Eye G.I. Joe right at the end, too. So in the final book of the trilogy of D.C. Jones, I bring in an analog to Bullet Man.
Very nice.
Yeah, he's just called the Bullet. But, you know, again, it's not fleshed out at all in the original toys. There was one ad that they had in comic books, and it was like a little, you know, how many panels comic story, right, where G.I. Joe and Mike Power met Bullet Man. But they don't really, you know, there's no like origin story or anything like that. So, right. I actually, you know, was able to introduce the character before he was the bullet and explain how he got to that point. So at the, you know, by the end of the third book, he is fully the bullet. So there's a little tease at the end of the third book that says, you know, DC Jones and Adventure Command will return. And then I put in the invaders. So if I continue, you know, on the next thing will most likely be my take on the intruders, except they're just called the invaders, which, yes, that was the name of a 1960s TV series, the invaders, but that's okay. That's, you know, I mean, it's when you have words like that, that people recognize, you know, it sometimes makes it a little even more special, you know, because it makes it remember the TV show or something like that.
Oh yeah.
But I want to sell more of these, the books that exist before I continue on. Yeah. Well, I want to know that, you know, people like them and enjoy them and are hungry for more of that. You know, we do not write in a vacuum.
Right.
And publish in a vacuum.
Well, it's the same way I feel on my podcast. I don't think not a lot of people watch or listen to it, but I do my, like I said, I do my podcast for me. I enjoy talking about this stuff. And like I say, the G.I. Joe, when I get, you know, it gives me once a month or so I can talk to other guys about G.I. Joe.
Good. That's important.
But I like when other people listen or respond, you know, respond back, but I would still probably do it just because it gives me a chance to talk about G.I. Joe. So I understand where you're coming from completely. It's something you're doing for yourself, but yeah, if other people like it, that's definitely a plus.
Yeah.
So you can get them on Amazon. Where else can you buy your, anywhere else? Can you get the?
No, on Amazon. You know, if I'm not mistaken, it's probably on barnesandnoble.com. It's like magic. You put something up on Amazon, you publish something on Amazon, and then all of a sudden you see that, oh, well, it can be, you know, you can buy it on barnesandnoble.com. Sometimes you can even go to like target.com or walmart.com and somehow it, you like you, they can be ordered through there. I suppose it's that Amazon just has some sort of deal that when you publish through what they call Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP, which is their, you know, their publishing arm of Amazon, it automatically goes, you know, it also ends up on Goodreads. Are you familiar with the site? Yeah. Which is not for selling books, but if I remember this correctly, that's for like reviewing books. Yeah. But I believe it links you back to Amazon. If you find a book on Goodreads, then you'd end up buying it through Amazon. Yeah. So no, you know, Aaron, at the end of the day, there are other publishing platforms and I have looked at them. I even had to use one once when I was actually having a little bit of trouble with Amazon over something. And there may be pluses to some of the other publishing platforms, but when it comes right down to it, Amazon is still, you're still going to get the widest distribution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ease of using it. This other platform that I used was very difficult to use. You had to actually pay to publish a book on it. Which, you know, Amazon, it's completely free to publish, you know, on there. There will be people who will tell you that, like, they don't like the percentage that Amazon takes. But again, if you're not out there to become rich as a, you know, writer, editor, publisher, then, you know, I still think it's Amazon is really the only game in town, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
What if they're doing all the heavy lifting and, you know, paying it out there for you. I mean, save your work for you, it may be worth
it. It's really easy to use. I have a little team of people, like, you know, I can design the covers, but I don't have the computer art ability to actually, you know, build it. So I work with some really great artists. Matt Orsman is my guy for the DC Jones books. And then I have a formatter who literally makes the, you know, trying to think of the file format that I need, you know, to be able to publish for print. And, you know, these people do beautiful work. They make me look great. Matt Orsman is wonderful because he's really into DC Jones. He does the covers that look like the toy packages.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, we're really proud of those. And he's done the interior illustrations that we have in all three books that makes them look like the old instruction sheets that you'd get in the Adventure Team stuff, even to the point where some of them are kind of beat up. Like they're like, you can see the wrinkles and like some are torn, you know, like as if you pulled one, you know, out from some attic somewhere, or this is one you've had since you were a kid. And then you literally just photocopied it and, you know, put it in a book. So we have a lot of fun with that. He's made really great designs for things. He's the one that like bugs me the most about doing more DC Jones. Like he wants to do it more than I want to do it. You know, he's fun. Oh, you know what? The first two books, there are audio books of the first two books.
Yeah, as I said, what we were talking about, I was looking at Barnes & Noble because we mentioned them. And yeah, you can get the audio books through Barnes & Noble.
Okay, good. They're also on Audible, which is Amazon's audiobooks part. There's a fantastic narrator. His name is Johnny Heller. He does an incredible job because he actually he changes his voice for every character. He actually came to me and said, oh, okay, I'm going to do your book. And then he said, like, so how do you see this character, and this character? Like, you know, like if you had to pick an actor or what, and it's just so fun the way he does them all. We couldn't do the instruction sheets in between the stories because it's an audio book.
Right.
So I said, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to do DC Jones TV commercials. I mean, obviously you can't see them, but we did audio recordings and made it sound like they were old 70s commercials grabbed off of YouTube. And I wrote the scripts for them, and Johnny actually put together the ones for the first book, and then I did the ones for the second book. For the second book, we actually also recorded the DC Jones theme song. If you go to YouTube and you look for Adventure Team commercials, one of them had an actual Adventure Team song. Like the whole soundtrack for one commercial was a song. It wasn't just a narrator going, you know, G.I. Joe's in danger and you've got to get him out. You know, it wasn't just like that. It was literally a song with music and everything. So I had a musician friend of mine write and perform and record the music for a theme song. And then he and I sat down and I recorded the lyrics. I wrote the lyrics and then recorded the lyrics to go along with the music. So it's really, really fun. It has a real 70s vibe to it. We had such a good time. We're looking at the possibility of doing the third book. I'd really like to, you know, finish that and have the audio book for all three books.
So is it you doing that through Amazon, or is that something you're doing?
Oh, so no. I go through an audiobook company that's out of Chicago called Oasis Audio. That guy actually contacted me when the first DC Jones book came out. And it turns out that the president of the company is a huge Adventure Team fan. And he, you know, he was like, he's like, you want to do an audiobook of it? I'm like, yeah. So, you know, Johnny Heller was one of his narrators and, you know, we got it done. And then, like I said, we did the second one. So again, I'm trying to see if, you know, they want to do the third one to put it all together. The packaging is really nice. Matt revised the cover of the book to fit like a CD case type of format and did a really wonderful job with that, changed it up a little bit or whatever. So it looks really cool in that format. It's a little bit like longer and squatter than the taller and thinner, you know, cover. Oh, the little slim book that has the short stories in it, the cover looks like the top of the old G.I. Joe Foot Locker.
Okay. Right.
And those little spaces where you're supposed to write, you know, you were supposed to write in your name, rank, and serial number. It has that. And in fact, the cover sits like up on end. You have to kind of turn it to get the full Foot Locker picture.
Very nice.
That's called Action Accessories. It's DC Jones and Adventure Command Action Accessories.
Very nice. I like that. That's Well, yeah, you can tell you have a real love. This is a love project for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a passion project. You know, it really is. It's my love letter to my most favorite toy of all time. And I still think it's the greatest toy ever. You know, it's such an important toy in the grand scheme of things. You know, literally the true first boys action figure, you know, the toy that the term action figure was coined for. You know, that's really amazing. It was the toy that got past the stigma of a boy playing with a quote unquote doll, you know, that. So every kid out there that's been playing with action figures, and every adult that played with action figures or still plays with action figures, you know, they have G.I. Joe to thank for that. I mean, it paved the way for everything.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not one of those. I don't like people say, well, if this hadn't happened, none of this would have happened. We may have gotten it eventually, but, you know, G.I. Joe, the original G.I. Joe and the Venture team, yeah, definitely paved the way for, like I said earlier, for what I what I play with, and these other, you know, action figures, and
And credit where credit is due, Barbie paved the way for G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah.
G.I. Joe pretty much exists because Barbie existed.
Yeah.
You know, 1959, you know, Barbie came out, and G.I. Joe was all kind of based on that same idea that you bought the figure and then you bought all of the, you know, the clothes and stuff.
Right.
They call it the razor and razor blade theory. You buy a razor, but then you have to buy the razor blades to go in the razor. You know, it was like you have a G.I. Joe and you've got to, you know. And then they cheated and they just made a G.I. Joe, you know, for every single outfit, you know, when they did the Real American Hero.
Yeah, well, they change it from, instead of buying outfits, you have to buy each new Joe. And, of course, they have human personalities, and Larry Hama, you know, went a lot of work and put, you know, the file cards together and give them backgrounds. But definitely it all strings from Barbie. But yeah, through that, it goes into G.I. Joe, the original 12-inch figures, which, is the grandfather, if you will, of what we have today. So no, definitely, it's not my G.I. Joe, but I definitely give it props. And there's no bad talking it, because, I mean, if it wasn't for that, we probably wouldn't be here today talking. So
by that same token, I utterly, completely respect Real American Hero, because what it has done is it's kept that name alive all these years. That really could have just gone away. You know, G.I. Joe ended before the end of the 70s, and, you know, it could have been the end of it until they got that clever idea of bringing it back in a completely new and different way. And it struck a chord, and, you know, here we are. I mean, G.I. Joe, the name and everything would probably still be remembered, but it's an even bigger thing now because of Real American Hero. So I love the passion and enthusiasm that Real American Hero fans have. I have come to know many of them over the years, you know, because I've gone to G.I. Joe conventions now and all of that. I actually have a nonfiction book about G.I. Joe called The Joy of Joe, which is essays from guys who grew up playing with G.I. Joe. It's memories of, you know, of playing with G.I. Joe. Do you have it there? Yay! That came out right before I went to the first G.I. Joe convention.
Pick it up. Yeah, I got your signature, Larry Hama, a bunch of other people's.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow. I'm alongside Larry. I got goosebumps. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you, Larry, Kirk Bozian.
Oh, I almost was going to say, do you have Kirk's name in there?
One of my friends, he picked it up for me and sent it to me, because I haven't had time and money to go to any conventions in years. But
So again, you know, I doff my helmet to Real American Hero. And there is a nod to Real American Hero in the DC Jones novels.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. It's something that years down the road, past the time of DC Jones, could become some things from Real American Hero. It's almost like the foundation of Real American Hero things was started in the 70s, you know, in a way. So, yeah, you know, more power to all you Real American Hero fans.
like I say, yeah, it takes all, you know, both of us, you know, both the original Joes and the Real American Herald, you know, it all comes together. And yeah, since we're both adults, we can, you know, compliment each other's, you know, Joes, and, you know, it's not a matter of, well, mine's better than yours. It's no, without one, you might have the other, and, you know, the other one keeps the original one alive. So,
yeah. And listen, when you've collected every single Real American Hero thing, there's nowhere to go except to start collecting the 12-inch figures. Although it makes me wonder if there are any guys who did that the other way around, like they've collected all the 12-inch stuff, because there's a limited amount of that things, you know, there's only so many years worth of it. It makes me wonder if they went on to become, you know, to start collecting the later stuff.
I'd be curious to find that out. Anyone listen, if you haven't read it or picked it up, yeah, definitely look for The Joy of Joe. That was a great book. I loved it. There was, yeah, stories in there, you know, brought a tear to my eye. Something made me laugh. So it was just a fantastic collection.
Thank you, sir.
I really enjoyed
it. I'm very honored to hear you say that. We did our job right.
Yes. No, I've got it on my shelf here in my office. One of the few books I've got over here that I got signed. So, but so is there anything else about DC Jones you want to talk about? Anything else that needs to be brought?
I don't know. I think we talked about pretty much, you know, everything. Again, anybody out there, if it sounds interesting to you, hop on over to Amazon. You know, Amazon has samples. You know, you can read samples. You know, I recommend that you read the books in order. The first one is literally just called DC Jones and Adventure Command International. Second one is DC Jones and Adventure Command International 2. And then the third book is Adventure, you know, Command 3. You'll see what looks like titles on the covers of the books, but those are really supposed to be the names of the, like, the quote-unquote toy package that you're looking at. And then they're kind of echoed in the stories, but the official names are literally just books. You know, there's no number on the first one and then 2 and 3. If you go to Amazon, you'll see that there's a page where it has all three of them, and then it puts them in order. But read a sample, you know, see what we're doing there. And again, if I did everything right, you don't need to know what Adventure Team stuff is. It should be just a good, solid, globe-trotting story of adventure with a team of adventurers who all have different specialties. You know, again, you know, things that are echoed later in Real American Hero. And, you know, there's a little bit of humor and there's, you know, a lot of serious stuff, a lot of action, you know, adventure, violence. And then a whole lot of, like, equipment and vehicles, if you like that kind of stuff. And some real wackiness, too. Again, you will want to contact me and say, man, who is the 9-year-old who wrote this or plotted these stories out? Hopefully you say that in a good way.
Yeah.
But take a look, you know, if you don't want to take the plunge, you know, or pick up the e-books. You know, they're less expensive than the print books, although I keep the print books, I think, very reasonably, you know, priced. I think they're like $12.99 or, you know, or something like that.
It's like $9.99 for the first one.
Yeah, there you go.
$10.99, $11.99.
And if you're an audiobook fan, you know, you can also hear, I think you can hear a sample of the audiobook too. I think you're going to really like Johnny Heller's reading of it. And, you know, you can listen to them in your car or your vehicle as you're on driving to G.I. Joe conventions.
There you go.
or antique malls, you know, or whatever. But I hope that the fun and excitement that I had when putting those together comes through in the narratives and in the writing. And then if you do read them, please let me know what you think, good or bad, whatever. You know, leave me a review. And if that's not your thing, you know, I'm on Facebook. I'm on the platform formerly known as Twitter. And, you know, I'm around. You can find me and let me know what you think. The more people I hear from, the more likely that there will be more DC Jones books.
So you heard them, buy them, read them, reach out to them and tell them, hey, Jim, we want more of this.
That's the idea.
And while you're looking, I say that you've got the Joeys of Joe, you've got your Gotham City, what is it, 14 miles?
Yeah. And then three other books about the Batman TV series. That's the Subterranean Blue Grotto essays on Batman 66. There's three volumes, one for each of the seasons of the show. And then the Joy of Joe, that became a series. So there are five total books in the Memories from Today's Grown Up Kids series. Joe was the first one. We have a one about growing up with Dark Shadows, one about growing up with the all the imported Japanese TV shows that we had, 60s up into the early 90s even, and then a book about growing up with classic old school tabletop role-playing games. And then the newest volume is growing up with classic Star Trek.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So I haven't had time to read them all, but I definitely like what you do. So I definitely, even the ones I haven't read, I recommend anything that Jim's done. I definitely recommend it because, yeah, he's great.
Well, thanks, man. Check's in the mail.
Thank you, man. I'm waiting for it. No. Yeah, whether it's writing or editing, yeah, you do a great job. And
thank you.
Again, you can tell you're passionate for this kind of stuff.
My page on Facebook is called the Jim Beard and Becky Books page. Becky Books is my publishing house that I do DC Jones through and the Memories from Today's Grown Up Kids series through that.
Very nice. So definitely check out that. Check them out on Facebook. Like I say, write them and let them know, hey, give me more DC Jones. And I'm sure Jim would love to hear that. And like he said, yeah, if he gets enough people, you know, asking for it, he'll definitely give some more stories. So definitely, I can't recommend it enough. So. And I thank you very much for joining me today, Jim. I know I've been talking for a while about getting you on, and life keeps interfering, and either between my issues or just life in general. So I find, you know what? I need to stop letting things push me aside, and I need to get a hold of Jim and get him on and talk about this DC Jones. So
you were just waiting for the right moment. Well, you know what? I'm glad we did it now because, like I said, I finished that trilogy, you know, and it's nice to be able to talk about it as a complete thing now. So, no, thank you very much. I'm so excited to be back. You know, it's been a while, like we said, but I'm glad you're still doing this. You know, this is important. You know, you're performing an important service for the G.I. Joe community. So thanks a lot for having me be part of it again.
So what else do you have coming out? Anything else you got coming out?
Right now, Becky Books is we're working on a Bigfoot fiction anthology. That's really fun. That came out of in the last couple of years, I've tried to start doing different types of shows than I normally did. And one of the things that I stumbled upon was cryptid conventions.
Right.
And I've done a couple of them. And dude, they are so fun. The people who go to them are really cool, fun people, and you don't have to believe in Bigfoot or the Mothman or anything like that, you know, because you have people who go to it who are of, you know, different minds on it. Well, one thing I realized was the last one that I did, I said, you know what? I really need to have a Bigfoot book on my table. I mean, I do well enough as it is. So I said, okay, I'm actually going to put together a fiction anthology. So it's going to be 12 stories. One of them is me. I just finished writing my story for it. And if all goes well, I'm going to say probably maybe by March of this year, like first quarter.
Right.
Of this year, that should be out. I haven't revealed the title or cover or writer lineup yet, but that'll be coming soon, probably in February. So if you go to that, my Facebook page, you'll see all of that. And hopefully very soon, my newest Green Hornet story will be solicited in Diamond Previews.
Okay.
You know, the company that, you know, distributes the comic books for comic book shops.
Yeah.
I have a Green Hornet novel that's been out for a couple of years from Moonstone Books. I wrote earlier last year, I wrote a new short story, and that's going to be coming out alongside somebody else's short story for another character. But Moonstone calls those double shots.
Oh, okay.
You know, a little book where you get two like novellas or, you know, two shorter stories in there. So hopefully by like May or June, that should be out. And I have a couple other things in the works that I'm not ready to talk about yet.
Yep. whatever you want to talk about, let me know. We'll get you back on and either here or Hit My Head Speaks main show. And if it's not G.I. Joe related, I get you on somewhere. So okay. I enjoy talking to you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I want to thank Heinz out in the chat for joining us and anyone else that was out there listening. I've thrown some links in the chat about where you can pick up some of this stuff. Just go to Amazon, search for Jim Beard, and he's got a lot of books that you can buy from there. And like I say, if you're interested in the 60s, 70s G.I. Joe, like I say you can search Amazon for the action. What is it? The forget what it's called now. But Amazon has the two classified figures coming out for.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to look into those. Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely check it out. And again, I thank you again for your time, Jim, and everyone that's listened.
Thank you very much.
Yo, Joe.
Thank you for listening to Bravo Team, a supplementary G.I. Joe, a real American headcast show. Be sure to check out our main show, the second Tuesday of the month, G.I. Joe, A Real American Headcast, where I talk about the G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero comic book series written by Larry Hama and the G.I. Joe cartoon from the 80s. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Check out our Facebook page. Just search for G.I. Joe, A Real American Headcast under both Facebook and over on Twitter. We're also over on Google Plus. Be sure to rate us and to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And be sure to write in and let us know how we're doing. We love hearing from fans. You can write to us at bravoteam@headspeaks.com. You can also send an MP3 file in and we'll play that on the air. You can send that to bravoteam@headspeaks.com. And be sure to check out my other great shows on the Headcast Network, Headspeaks, Task Force X, and the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, plus possibly more in the future. Also, be sure to check out the podcasts of my co-hosts. They have some great shows. And if you want to appear on this show, definitely let me know. I'm always up to speaking to new people. You can send me a Facebook message, or you can send us an email to bravoteam@headspeaks.com. Be sure to check out our website. The main site is at headspeaks.com, but you can check out the website for this show at gijoe.headspeaks.com. Be sure to join us here monthly for another great podcast. Until next time, Joe's dismissed.